The Driving Spirit, a salute to our sled dog tradition. That's the title of a major new exhibit at the University of Alaska Museum, organized by local mushers Susan Will and Pete Bowers. The exhibit will run through April 26th and coincides with the 60th anniversary of organized sled dog racing in Fairbanks. To help celebrate, KUAC is broadcasting segments of oral history interviews of dog mushers from the university's archives. Today's dog musher is Gareth Wright. Gareth Wright has been actively involved with sprint racing in Fairbanks since the late 1940s. He won his first North American championship in 1950 and won it again in 1983. He has been an active member of the Alaska Dog Mushers Association since the earliest days of the club. Gareth is well known as a racing dog breeder and has worked for years to develop his line of Aurora Huskies. These dogs were from a line of 1930s-era dogs developed by one of the greatest mushers who ever competed in Fairbanks races, Johnny Allen. Allen won the Fairbanks sweepstakes races in three consecutive years between 1936 and 1938. This tape was recorded for KUAC by Roger McPherson in 1973.
How did you first get into dog mushing?
Well, when I was a little boy, that was everybody in the old days. My dad had that's how we got around, was just by dog team. That was the means of transportation. And I was living at Nenana, Alaska at that time. And my dad always had dogs. And then in those days, they used to have some big races in Ruby and Nome. And they were just starting the races in the early days there in Fairbanks here, the Live and Good race and Signal Corps races. And they'd send out these posters to sell tickets on the dog races to finance them. And that's all they talked about was who had the best dog team and who was going to win the race. And I don't know, ever since I was a little kid, that was my big ambition. And when I finally was 13 years old, I got my first dog of my very own. And I was lucky in the fact that I'd got one of the original Johnny Allen breed of dogs that comes from down in Ruby. And that was one of the top greatest dog mushers of all time, and still is, as far as I'm concerned, in not only the breeding of dogs, but also in the manner that he handled these dogs. He wasn't a harsh whip driver or anything of this nature. He was a man that demanded his dogs to mind and to do their job, but he wasn't constantly after them trying to be harsh about whipping them or hitting them. And I've heard stories about him from the early day dog mushers that said that he could stand in one spot and make a figure eight with his dog team. Now this is what I'm still trying to do.
Johnny Allen was from Ruby, you say?
Yes.
Was he, did he do a lot of dog mushing in the Ruby area then?
Well, yes, he mushed and raced in the Ruby area, but he got well known up here. I think he won, it was in the 37, 38, and 39, won the first man to set as fast a record, broke the 15-mile-an-hour record for 30 miles. And he had at that time a crossbreed that I understand was part wolf and part husky and part Irish setter. And so this is what I've been trying to do, is reduplicate his breed of dogs. And he isn't in the country anymore, but any dog musher that knows anything has heard about him.
Tell me how you got your first dog then when you were 13. Did you know Johnny well enough that he gave you the dog?
No, I got my first dog from Jimmy Bruce. He was from Minto, and it just happened that the breed had gotten down to see, in the old days, they didn't fly dogs to Fairbanks or anywhere. And the dog originally came out of the Johnny Allen breed from Ruby, and it was through Harry Riley, and he still lives in Minto and has still a good team. And how the dogs got there was, in the old days, we didn't fly them in like we do today, or drive around with trucks. They drove them, actually drove the dog team all the way right along the rivers, and that was the means of transportation. And so what happened is, this dog where I got the ancestor of my dogs, The dog happened to be going to have some pups, and he didn't know it at the time, and it was getting too slow, so he left it there with Harry Riley. And so Harry Riley gave him another dog in place of it to use it, and so that's how the breed got out. And in later years, that whole team of Johnny Allen's got drowned. It was it going across the river, and there was an overflow, and it opened up just across the snow, and the whole team went under, and they lost every one of the dogs. So there's very few of that breed left, and a lot of people that do have it now, it's they don't even know they have the breed, the few people that is left, you know.
You're still running the same breed in your team now?
Yeah, it's the breed now can be told pretty well by the, if you look on the tongue of a dog, it has a black spot. And just about every dog in my team has those black spots on their tongue. And I don't know, it's people have, we try to figure out where that came from. A lot of people say it comes from the wolf, but I can't say for sure where those spots come from. A lot of people say wolves don't even have black spots, but some people do say that.
The History of Dog Mushing exhibit can be seen at the University Museum from noon to 5 p.m. daily. Admission is free on Fridays. After April 26th, parts of the exhibit will be permanently displayed at the Dog Mushers Hall on Farmers Loop Road. The Driving Spirit, a salute to our sled dog tradition. That's the title of a major new exhibit at the University of Alaska Museum, organized by local mushers Susan Will and Pete Bowers. The exhibit will run through April 26th and coincides with the 60th anniversary of organized sled dog racing in Fairbanks. To help celebrate, KUAC is broadcasting segments of oral history interviews of dog mushers from the university's archives. Today's musher is Effie Cochran, a well-known Fairbanksan. She was born and raised in Tanana, where dog teams were an essential part of life. Her father, Johnny Folger, was one of the mushers on the Nome Serum Run, and Effie began her racing career in 1938. Later, after she and her husband Andy moved to Fairbanks, she raced regularly, winning the Women's North American Championship in 1952, 1953, and 1954. Today, she is part of an active family of dog mushers and supports the Junior Dog Mushers Association, in which her grandchildren participate. We pick up the interview as Effie is asked why she decided to race in the North American Championship.
Because my husband told me to. The first North American I ran was the first year after we moved to Fairbanks. And I didn't know the racetrack or didn't know any of the dog mushers or anything. I met Libby Westcott and them, you know, just briefly. But I didn't know my way around or anything in Fairbanks. And all of a sudden, he came home one day and he said, "You're going to run the women's race." Now, where am I going?
But you liked it because you did it after that.
Mm-hmm. Well, then he just said, "Follow the trail and let the dogs lead the way." You know, and then when you hit the river and such a place, you turn around. But anyway, when you hit that river, it's when you go back up the Chena River, which I did. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember coming in or anything, but I remember making that turn after you once hit the river, and I thought, "Oh, I'm home."
Which race was your favorite race?
There is no favorite, because everyone is was a run in its own. Mm-hmm. Maybe the most shocking one would probably be the one I won the year that I won my third year. That would probably be the most surprising.
Why?
Because I didn't think I was going to do it. Because it just came as such a shock. Mm-hmm. Surprise. Because I was number four starting that day. And that was second day of running or 3 days of running. I can't remember. Anyway, I was number four and I had no idea whatsoever. All I wanted is make sure Whitey, I had Andrew's leader Whitey, which did not like to obey me. He was strictly Andrew's dog, and he'll run for me, he won't get into mischief, but he wouldn't give me his heart. So I was just going along, coming down the hill at the KFAR up there on Farmer's Loop Road, And just after I hit into the brushes, here's a dog team ahead of me. They're having a tangle. I was shocked, so went around it. Then I looked up, and here's two more teams ahead of me having the same problem. So Whitey right there, you know, okay, his trained instinct. He just went right around this first dog team, and their dogs were anxious to go, and they were, you know, around, just all wanted to go. But he wanted to show off then. That's the only time I could say that dog knew what he was doing. He went right around that one, and the next two, he went right around. And Libby Westcott was the third team I passed. She said, come on, Effie, pull out your whip. You never pull out your whip or anything in the races, because that's courtesy to the others. And she said, come on, go. And I was, like, shocked. I still didn't realize what was going on. And so I just kept pushing, and she was behind me all the way through. She said, go ahead, use your whip. I don't use a whip when I'm driving. I use the rattler, noisemaker, or a chain in my hand, like a piece of broken chain, and you just hold it in your hand, like, and you make noise with it. But the best thing I liked was I always carried a little sticks in my hand, and in my chain bag. And now, like I take a little stick, a little bit like that, and then I'd hit it on the side of the sled and just like make rhythm. And I seem to find that more comforting, and I don't have to use my voice or something. And then I sing, or you know. So I just, come on, let's go. And I just came in, and like I say, Whitey really, I take my hat off to him that day. Because the starting of the race, he was just doing his own thing. He look around and just run along, and I coax him and talk to him, and he was not giving me anything except staying ahead. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the most surprised race.
The history of dog mushing exhibit can be seen at the University Museum from noon to 5 p.m. daily. Admission is free on Fridays. After April 26th, parts of the exhibit will be permanently displayed at the Dog Mushers Hall on Farmers Loop Road. The Driving Spirit, a salute to our sled dog tradition. That's the title of a major new exhibit at the University of Alaska Museum, organized by local mushers Susan Will and Pete Bowers. The exhibit will run through April 26th and coincides with the 60th anniversary of organized sled dog racing in Fairbanks. To help celebrate, KUAC is broadcasting segments of oral history interviews of dog mushers from the university's archives. Today's dog musher is Effie Cochran, Part 2. Effie Cochran, a well-known Fairbankson, was born and raised in Tanana, where dog teams were an essential part of life. Her father, Johnny Folger, was one of the mushers on the Nome Serum Run, and Effie began her racing career in 1938. Later, after she and her husband Andy moved to Fairbanks, she raced regularly, winning the Women's North American Championship in 1952, 53, and 54. Today, she's part of an active family of dog mushers and supports the Junior Dog Mushers Association, in which her grandchildren participate. We pick up the interview as Effie is asked about accompanying her husband on the mail trail to Wiseman.
Only as far as the 36 mile. That's 36 mile behind Tanana. We went up there one year to trap beaver in the Tozi River, which a relief cabin, the mail cabin there on the river. So we stayed there one winter, and we had to cross some of those mountains I was saying where you need a trained loose leader. And boy, it's just mountain with nothing on it except the posts. They have the trail markers. Years ago they put like trail markers, they put three sticks together and put a tripod on the old trail, so that when you're crossing the mountain you can at least have some landmark of some kind. And so I did cross the 14 mile mountain, so I know what it's like. Only it's such a short way, but running to Wiseman was a very tough trip because the weather was so cold sometimes. And you carried the dog food you're going to use for the month's trip. And you have to carry some and leave some here at this mail cabin. You can either hang it up inside of the relief cabin or, you know, hang it up somewhere. And then coming back, then you depend on that dog food being there. And it took a man. And you had to be strong and tough. You had to have tough dogs. And your equipment, your harness had to be heavy, heavy equipment so that they don't wear out or fray. Because you got load, you've got all the... Then they had to be responsible also for carrying money. I don't know of any woman that actually took the mail run, but I know of a woman that helped quite a bit. That's Catherine Mayo, you know, Freddie Mayo and Clyde Mayo's mother. She wasn't Catherine Mayo then. They were living down at Callan's. And I know she helped. Now, whether it wasn't on her contract to do it, but you help whenever you can. And I know my father said she used to put on snowshoes and go up and break out the mail trail so that when the mail team is coming down, they can hit her trail and walk, you know, come in. Because we used to have more severe weather those days. And I'm pretty sure my Andrew was telling me one time that she did make a run. But that's the only woman I know. They had roadhouse there where the mail carriers used to stop overnight. And she'd had to have the wood and, the water and everything all ready for the dogs to be watered and everything. And then they housed the mail carrier for the night. And so she played a very important part in those days because she was living with her mother, which her mother couldn't get around and do things. But Catherine was a young woman and she'd done all the work.
The history of dog mushing exhibit can be seen at the University Museum from noon to 5 p.m. daily. Admission is free on Fridays. After April 26th, parts of the exhibit will be permanently displayed at the Dog Mushers Hall on Farmers Loop Road. The Driving Spirit, a salute to our sled dog tradition. That's the title of a major new exhibit at the University of Alaska Museum, organized by local mushers Susan Will and Pete Bowers. The exhibit will run through April 26th and coincides with the 60th anniversary of organized sled dog racing in Fairbanks. To help celebrate, KUAC is broadcasting segments of oral history interviews of dog mushers from the university's archives. Today's dog musher is Rosie Lazonski. Rosie Lazonski arrived in Fairbanks in 1948 and was racing sled dogs her first winter. Over the past 40 years, she has been a top contender in many races, winning the Women's North American Championship 4 times. Today, most top sprint teams contain dogs from the breed developed by Rosie and husband Steve Lazonski.
Bob and Libby had a homestead on about 6 miles on Richardson, and they moved their dogs out there. And then I told them, I said, there's nothing in the world I want more than a dog team. And they said, well, why don't you have one? And I couldn't, you know, it just didn't occur to me that I could just go ahead and have a dog team. So I started raising puppies, and Gareth gave me 2 little females that I thought were fantastic, and I bought a dog here and there, and first thing you know, I had 20 dogs.
And did you do anything specific in your training?
Back in the old days, no. When I trained, I had no idea what I was supposed to do. I went out strictly for fun, whether I was training for a race. I never thought of it in that way. I simply went out to have fun with the dogs, and there were times when I'd go out. I worked at night at the photo shop. I'd go out in the morning. I'd be gone all day till it was dark at night. Sometimes I'd come back walking beside them. They'd be so tired, which was probably the wrong thing to do, but they liked it. They never got sour because I wasn't pushing them or anything. We were out exploring. which you could do then, because there was lots and lots of places you could go, you know, that you can't do now. You know, I don't think we were as smart then. We didn't have the knowledge, definitely, that we have now. In fact, we never watered our dogs a long time ago. The first person that I ever saw water them was Kit McInnes. And I kind of thought she was kind of funny for watering her dogs. But then I think the big change came. I think we took good care of our dogs, but I don't think that we had the knowledge. But the big change came when Dr. Lombard came up here, and we started watching him and all the things that he did for his dogs. And he said, if you can do anything that will help them, do it. Anything at all will make that little bit of difference. And so then we learned that it was important to water the dogs, and that's when we really started watering them. And in the old days, we never went around and picked up the droppings from the dogs. And we started doing that, keeping our kennels cleaner. And by that time, we had beet distemper. And the dogs were shot, you know, every year. And we had learned to, well, then we had a veterinarian up here, which made a big difference to us. And I think we did take good care of the dogs. We didn't have the knowledge, though, that they have now.
The history of dog mushing exhibit can be seen at the University Museum from noon to 5 p.m. daily. Admission is free on Fridays. After April 26th, parts of the exhibit will be permanently displayed at the Dog Mushers Hall on Farmers Loop Road. The Driving Spirit, a salute to our sled dog tradition. That's the title of a major new exhibit at the University of Alaska Museum, organized by local mushers Susan Will and Pete Bowers. The exhibit will run through April 26th and coincides with the 60th anniversary of organized sled dog racing in Fairbanks. To help celebrate, KUAC is broadcasting segments of oral history interviews of dog mushers from the university's archives. Today's interview is with Harold Woods, who for many years carried freight and mail between Manly and Rampart. In 1936, he decided to drive his freighting team into Fairbanks to compete in the races. As he drove through Nenana, he met Johnny Allen, the top racer of the day. Harold's recollections point out an important distinction between the dog racers of the 30s, 40s, and early 50s, and the modern racers. Back then, race teams were composed of working dogs, trap line, or freighting teams, while today's teams are bred just for racing. Harold is interviewed here by Richard Frank and Pete Bowers.
Harold, when you came from Rampart for this race in 1936, you went from Rampart to Manly?
Well, first I went from Rampart to Canada to pick up a load of groceries.
I see.
And haul my cousin from there to Manly. I came around that way in Manly. The next day I went over to Rampart and I had no time left, so I came back to Manly the next day to meet Bergman Cochrane there. I was supposed to meet him there. And then that next day we went to Minto. And from Minto we went to Nenana, and the dogs were pretty tired then. Stayed there 1 week.
That Manly to Minto, that's quite a run.
And then that's where I met Johnny Allen. He came up while we was laying. The dogs were too tired, so I was going to turn around and come back.
But Nenana.
Yeah. Then Johnny came along, and I got acquainted with him, and he told me, he said, I told him I figured on going back. He said, no, three of us are going to win this race, he said.
Now, was that the first time you met Johnny Allen?
That's the first time I met Johnny Allen.
He had won it the year before.
No, he never raced before.
Oh, that was his first race?
Yeah, that was his first race. But he's been racing dogs downriver all the time. You know, they race a lot down there.
When he said the three, that he meant you and Bergman, Cochrane?
I and him and Bergman, yeah. He said three was going to win this race.
And he was right.
He was right. Three was one.
Back in the 30s, when Harold drove his team, it was working dogs that was brought to the races. And it's, I would say, I think there was a lot of people that really looked towards Johnny Allen in the 30s.
Yeah.
You know, because he had a team that was a trap line and working team, and he brought them in from Ruby, drove them overland to come in the winning circle.
Yeah, he come there to Indiana when I first met him, you know. And here he comes, 12 dogs, you know. He stopped right in front of the store, right in the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. Told his dogs to lay down, he went in the store and bought something and come back out. And got on the sled and he went out of there like a bullet to the dog, you know, dog barn. None of the dogs will behave, and you can do that. And this first time his dogs ever been up here.
Huh.
Yeah. I watched him. Walked in the store, looked around, no, they're not even tied up. Right in the middle of the street, you know,
yes.
Where Alec Fowler had his store.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. He went in there to buy something, come back out.
Yeah.
And the dogs wasn't tired, you know, waited for him.
The History of Dog Mushing exhibit can be seen at the University Museum from noon to 5 p.m. daily. Admission is free on Fridays. After April 26th, parts of the exhibit will be permanently displayed at the Dog Mushers Hall on Farmers Loop Road.